welcome. It seems like there's a bit of a theme here this morning because for the longest time, I can remember owning a bicycle. When I was growing up, I can't remember a time when I didn't have a bicycle. I had this purple bicycle, and as Brian Schauber shared about Zambian bicycles, I think this one fits that profile. It had back pedal brakes, one gear, and it went for years and years and years. There was one problem with this bicycle, and the problem was that every now and then I would get a puncture. You know, boys don't care where they ride their bicycle. I mean, you never think, well, that's a thorn tree, I shouldn't go under it. There's an age where it kind of becomes obvious, but for a long time, you don't think that. So one of the first things that I learned about bicycles was bicycle puncture repair. And maybe we must just encourage Shoba to tell the folks in Zambia to buy some puncture repair kits to go with those bicycles. Nowadays, people don't understand fully what it's like. I mean, at a point, I managed to get like solid foam inners so that I never got punctures. And nowadays, you have that gooey stuff that you squirt in, and then the minute you get a puncture, it just seals it up. But back in the day, a puncture would stop you dead in your tracks. And I remember many a time taking my back wheel or my front wheel off, taking the tube out, inflating it a little bit. We had a swimming pool, so I was too lazy to get a bucket, but going to the swimming pool and then putting the tube, you see, people know this, putting the tube in the swimming pool, looking for that very tiny hole. I mean, often you couldn't see the hole. Then I had to try and remember to keep my thumb in the right place from the pool to the garage to get the patch in the right place. But that incredibly small hole would cause that whole thing to stop working. Sometimes very small things can have very large impacts. You'll know this for sure. There's spiritual implications for this as well. As we go to God's Word, you read about these moments. You know in the Bible when there's this mention of faith as small as a mustard seed. You know that thing, hey? And what happens is, in Luke 17 and Matthew 17, Jesus said that if your faith is like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But a mustard seed is most probably 1 or 2 millimeters in size, but it causes such massive, massive faith moments. What is happening? Then you've heard about 5 loaves and 2 fish. This small amount, but that goes on to feed huge numbers of people. And what's more? 12 basket fulls left afterwards, like this massive amount of food. Wow. You'll remember David and the 5 stones. The story is amazing because it wasn't five stones, it was 1 stone that he actually needed to defeat Goliath. And the story is even more amazing because he was the least of the brothers. He's not the biggest, he's not the tallest, he's the youngest. He's not even on the battlefield at the time when Goliath comes and starts. David's eventually known as a man after God's own heart. From the least of the brothers, from the smallest, a young person, a youth most probably, a man after God's own heart. What about Gideon and his 300 soldiers? You know, he's going to go into battle with 32,000 soldiers, and God says, no, that's too many. And the soldiers are slowly sent home until he's just got 300. And remarkably, we read in the next chapter how many people they defeat. The enemy, the Midianites, are actually 135,000 people. Those are not human odds. Those are God-sized odds. Something very small, achieving something incredibly big. Nothing and no one is too small for God. We read this over and over again in the Bible. We see it over and over again in God's kingdom.
the question this morning that I want to ask you, and this is our third week in the Nation Changes series. The question is, if not you, then who? If not you, then who? Is it by chance that you're here today? Is this an accident, a fluke, that you happen to be sitting in church this morning hearing this word about what God is calling us to know? Are we here by accident as a church? We're just a little tiny church in Hillcrest. No. God has got a plan for you. He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan for this church. If not you, then who? The scripture this morning is a lovely, lovely scripture, and I love the scripture. You've heard it before, but pay careful attention to some of the nuances as I read. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Just love the way Paul lays out the church and the churches in this scripture. How we fit together, how we work together, how we're all important, how we all belong, and how we all have a part to play. The first thing I want to talk about is one body, the very first bit of that scripture. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So we're all very different. We all, I mean, if you had to say who you're going to choose to be a part of the church, most probably wouldn't choose the people sitting next to you. But God calls us and puts us together and says, you are the body. Well, that's, you're sitting next to your wife, so I'm thinking that you would choose her. I realize the irony of that statement. You are the part of the body. If you're young or if you're older, you are the part of the body. If you're a new Christian, if you're a Christian that's been following Christ for a very long time, you are a part of the body. It doesn't matter what your heritage is, your background, your ethnicity, you are a part of the body. As I travel to Zambia and I share in a church in Livingston, they are a part of the body. We are a part of the body, and you're a part of this body. He makes his point very clear, Paul does, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Sometimes we read Jews or Greeks or Jews or Gentiles, but we're all part of the same body. We all form one body. The second thing is important to remember is we all belong. Paul says this, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body." I always have this weird picture of a talking foot when I read that. You can't and you must not talk yourself out of being a part of the body. I really don't belong here. I don't fit in here. What am I doing here? That's not an option. It's not something that we can do. If you're sitting here, there's a reason God has put you here. The foot belongs, as does the ear and the eyes, what Paul is telling us. All belong to the body. We all belong to the body, the one body. And there's no place that anybody can be excluded in the body. That's the third point. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." We don't have that luxury. Sorry, everybody. As much as we don't like some people, and you know, if you sit on the far left and the person you don't like sits on the far right, that's comfortable, but we don't have the option to say you're not part of this body. We don't. When the little children run around noisily, guess what? Part of the body. When the older people race their wheelchairs around like crazy people, yep, part of the body. We're all part of the body. Like it or not. So we can't exclude anybody. We mustn't exclude ourselves. We can't exclude anybody. I love the body that we have here. And I think that bodies that are made up of only older people lose out on the energy and exuberance of younger people. Which we sometimes see. And then a church that's only made up of younger people loses out on the wisdom and the knowledge and the long journey of faith that older people have gone on. And there's a deficit if you don't have older and younger people together in a church, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And then we hear this in the end, Paul's words. "Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it." Each one of you is a part of it. You're the body of Christ. He says this at the beginning. He says this at the end. And I'm hoping that there's some questions running around in your head at this point in the sermon. What part of the body am I? Or what part do I play in the body here in Hillcrest? I hope there's some of those kind of questions running around in your head. Remember, something small, maybe insignificant, can have a huge impact. Do you know who Edward Kimball is? I didn't either. So Edward Kimball, back in the day, I don't know when, he was a Sunday school teacher. And he had a number of boys in his class. And he was committed to sharing Christ with every single boy in his class. And the one boy packed shoes in a shoe store. And he went to the shoe store one day and said, "I need to tell you about Jesus Christ." And they gathered in the storeroom, and he told him about Christ, and he prayed with him. And this boy that he was sharing with became a Christian. And that was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody went on to be a prolific evangelist, somebody who preached to two continents about God and the power of God and the might of God. Then Moody, under his ministry, he touched another man's life, Wilbur Chapman. Chapman becomes an evangelist. He evangelizes to thousands of people. And one day in one of his meetings, there's a professional baseball player named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday accepts the message of faith, gives up his professional baseball career, and becomes an evangelist. He goes on to share about Jesus Christ. Under his ministry, a man hears about Christ, Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham becomes an evangelist and starts to share. Now, Mordecai Ham, he decides that he's going to go to a place in North Carolina called Charlotte. He's going to go to a high school and preach. But there's a group of boys at the high school that want to disrupt his meeting. And there's one boy who just wants to go along to see what's going to happen. He's not the disruptor, but he just wants to go to see what's going to happen. So he goes along, and he's fascinated by Mordecai Ham's message. He decides to go the second night to this evangelistic meeting. And in the second night, he's one of the people that comes to the front and says, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that man was Billy Graham. So when I say, who's Edward Kimball? Well, he's nobody. He's nobody. But his commitment and faith to sharing Christ with a group of people in his Sunday school leads to many men sharing many, many, to many, many people, but ultimately Billy Graham. And we don't know the next chapter in that story. We're going to hear stories of people that have become Christians under Billy Graham's ministry and changed the world. That is yet to come. You might have a couple of objections this morning. Objection number one, but I'm too old. But I'm too old. Brian, I'm too old. So in 2007, I took a trip to Zambia. This is my team. You'll recognize some of these folk. There's Auntie Helen, and there's little Jacques. And then on my right is a man by the name of Paul England. Paul England didn't know why he was going to Zambia. He knew that God wanted him to go. He desperately wanted to go, but he wasn't sure why he was meant to go. And so when he gets to Zambia and we get to the Chelston Presbyterian Church, he looks at the side of the church and he says, Brian, I know why I'm here. Paul was a professional sign writer, and when he saw the side of the church, he said, I'm here because I've got to repaint the sign on this church. So he said, I want a tin of blue paint, a tin of red paint, and a tin of black paint, and that's Paul up the ladder. Paul worked a few days on that side of the church, and at the end, it looked like this. Now, the amazing thing is that when Paul went with me to Zambia, he was 80 years old. Brian, I'm too old. What have I got that I can bring to the kingdom? Maybe your objection is that I'm too young. That I'm too young. Maybe that's your objection. So I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that's serving this morning. And I won't mention his name. But there's a young person that's serving in the church. And he came to my office one morning before the service. He's 15. And he said, Brian, I'm not on duty this morning. But where I serve, I've noticed that the person that is on this morning has let us down twice. And so I'm here in case he doesn't arrive today. 15 years old. His parents don't go to church. Now you'd think, well, his parents are saying, hey, make sure you volunteer because he might let them down again. No, not at all. It's his own heart that called him to do that. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm too young. Maybe your objection is, but I don't have what it takes. So I was at a park run the other day, and as I'm waiting to, at the end, I come in at the end and I see somebody that I know, but I'd only seen this person 20 years prior to me seeing him then. And Andrew used to be in this church, and there's Andrew, and he's running the park run. I'm like, I didn't know you were a runner. He said, I wasn't a runner. My children wanted to do the park run, so I came to the park run. I offloaded them, and I sat in my car. I was going to wait for them to finish. And then in front of me, a car parked. And out of the car stepped a man, and the man adjusted his prosthetic leg. He wasn't going to run. Andrew wasn't going to run because of his bad rugby knees. Okay. So he sees the man get out of the car and adjust his prosthetic leg. He's like, oh, come on. No. Then the man goes to the back of the car, opens up the boot and takes out a stroller. Goes to the side of the car, opens the back door and puts a baby in the stroller. Like, oh. Then the man goes to the opposite back door, takes out one of those carrier things for a baby, puts the second baby on his back. and heads off on the park run. Andrew said at that point he got out the car. He wasn't a runner, and he walked it because he was completely overwhelmed by the message that he couldn't have an excuse, that he had to do it. And when I met him, he was actually running it, gammy knees and all. I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have what it takes. But we're a small church. Come on, Brian, we're a small church. There's a reason that we are here in Hillcrest. We celebrated 50 years last year. This is year 51. God has been faithful to us for 51 years. Our video is getting played at General Assembly. This year, the video of Comrades, so our most hits on a video that we've had of Comrades is about, I think our last record was 22,000. I think we've just reached 200,000 views of that video. Yeah, well, that's great. That's great. But you see, we think we're a small church. But we must stop that. God uses us in incredible ways. Think back to Nation Changes a couple of years ago when we heard about the school that needed toilets, and the year later we heard that the toilets had been built at a cost of a few million. That's because we had the heart to go to that school and say, what can we do? We collected paper and got a printer, but ultimately the need was toilets. This morning, you heard Shoba again, bicycles. That's a small ask. It is. It's not a great big ask. There's a really great plan coming up, by the way. You'll hear about it next week to help you raise funds for the bicycles, okay? I believe we're gonna like almost outfit the whole school with bicycles. But anyway, if you want to know about bicycles, speak to Brian Schauber. If you want to know about Mother Teresa vests, speak to Jade. If you want to know about Holiday Club, the impact that that has, speak to me. So this year, as I was training my leaders yesterday for Holiday Club, I realized that because we run a Holiday Club here, Tommy saw Holiday Club here first. Tommy now runs a Holiday Club because of our Holiday Club, one in Malweni and one in Embo. There were on three. Not yet. Not yet. This year, I had leaders from the church I'm looking after in Toti come, because this year we're going to run a Holiday Club there after we've run one here, to show them the potential. And Monde, the lady you heard about, guess why she's coming? You're right, to hear and see Holiday Club in action so that she can do it there. So next year, because of our Holiday Club, we hope to have Malweni, Embo, Toti, Livingston Presbyterian Church, and us. We're a small church, Brian. We're insignificant. No. God is using us in incredible ways, folks. My challenge is, I'm going to get it right. A green tick on that form at the back means that there's a coordinator. Everything in red means we still need it. Most of the monetary donations are still red. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't. I just want to highlight it for you. There's a couple of coordinators that we need. Please have a look at that after service and say, if not me, then who? If not me, then who? God is doing incredible things through us, church. Be a part of this thing. It's really exciting.